ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। तस्मात् युवाम् ग्राम्यपशोर् मम मूढ धियप्रभो अन्धे तमसि मग्नस्य ज्ञानदीप उदीर्यताम्। सो दिस् इस् अ वर्स् विच् ऐ टोल्ड् यू जस्ट् नौ बै चित्रकेतु टेलिङ्ग् टू ग्रेट् सैन्ट्ली पीपल् नारद अण्ड् अङ्गिरमुनि. So this verse gives us a right mood in which one should approach the saintly people. It says tasmad yuvam, oh you two great avaduta, avadutas are great saintly people, I am approaching you for enlightenment. And he says, I am exactly like a gramya pashu. He says I am like a village dog. He says it has a double meaning. One meaning is village dog is a creature which is unbathed, unclean, roaming around in the village, eating whatever he gets on the way, and not maintained by any master, and especially independent. He is not surrendered to anyone. And another meaning of the word gramya pashu means he has materialistic consciousness. Gramya buddhi, gramya varta na kahive, gramya varta na shunibe. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no? So gramya pashu actually means one who is a creature who delights in prajalpa, a creature who all the time is carried away by the worldly things is called gramya pashu. So gramya pashu, mama moodha diya is saying, my intelligence is foolish, he is saying. Andhe means I am blind. Tamasi means I am in the material world, which is a place of darkness. Jnana deepa udiryatam, please lit up the torchlight of knowledge in my heart so that I can act properly as a devotee of the Lord. Like that, Chitraketu offered his prayer to Narada and Angiramuni. Similarly, now we are going to enter the section where Rahuguna will also approach Jadabharata like a disciple approaching guru, you know, with a proper attitude he will approach also. Because till now, Rahuguna was afflicted by the disease of Naradeva Abhimanam, as mentioned in the earlier verse, Pandita Maninam, considering himself to be very exalted. See, the previous verse, the 8th verse, gives certain specific words to describe Jadabharata and Rahuguna, both. See, Jadabharata is described by the words Brahma Bhuta, Sarva Bhuta Sukhrit Atma, all those words are used. Yogeshwara Charyayam, those words are used. Whereas for our Rahuguna, Naradeva Abhimanam Rajasa Tamasa Anuviddhena Madena Tiraskrita Shesha. So these are the words used. He had the pride of a king, and he was afflicted by Rajasa Tamasa, and he was intoxicated by pride Madena, and Tiraskrita Ashesha, which means he was neglectfully dealing with the Lord. He rebuked. See, Tiraskrita means rebuke, speak like sarcastically. Ashesha means innumerable times, using multiple words. He didn't just make one small remark, but he made a series of remarks. That is Tiraskrita Ashesha. And then for Jadabharata, what words are used? Bhagavat Priya Niketam. Like that he says. Is Bhagavat Priya Niketam. Very beautiful words. That Bhagavat Priya Niketam are the devotees of the Lord. Bhagavan Brahmano Brahma Bhuta Sarva Bhuta Suhrid Atma Yogeshwara Charyayam. These are the words used for our Jadabharata. He was Bhagavan. Bhagavan, actually, why the word Bhagavan is used for devotees, like Bhagavan Narada, Bhagavan Badarayani, Bhagavan Vyasa. Why it is used? Because those who carry Bhagavan in their hearts are also called Bhagavan. They represent Bhagavan totally. Or in other words, we can say, if you see them, immediately remember Bhagavan. Simply by that very sight of them, you look at Prabhupada, immediately what comes to your mind? As soon as you look at Prabhupada, what words come out of your mouth? Hare Krishna comes out. So then, Bhagavan Prabhupada, we say. Or Bhagavan Rupa Goswami. So the word Bhagavan is used for them, not in the Mayavadi sense that he has become God or something. So they are, like we say, Sakshat Haritvena, Samastha Shastra. So here also he is called by the name Bhagavan. And also he was a Brahmana, and a Brahma Bhuta, he is self-realized. Sarva Bhuta Sukrita Atma, he is a well-wishing, well-wisher of all living beings. Yogeshwara Charyayam, he says, he is one of the most advanced mystic yogis in his behavior. Yeah. And the king, one more word is used for the king. Na ati vyutpanna matim, which means immature, inexperienced. Na ati vyutpanna matim, it's used. Very beautiful. The words in Sanskrit are very fitting words are used for both of them. So after this eighth verse, now we are going to ninth verse. Read the translation, please. Ninth verse. Oh, ninth verse is over, I think. No. 15th verse? Oh, sorry. 15th verse. And now the Raghuna is supposed to speak now. He's ready? Raghuna is ready. 16th. Yeah, 16th verse. Yes, please.
King Raghuna said,
yes.
Oh Brahmana, you appear to be moving in this world very much covered and unknown to others. Who are you? Are you a learned Brahmana and saintly person? I see that you are wearing a sacred thread. Are you one of those exalted liberated saints such as Dattatreya and other highly advanced learned scholars? May I ask whose disciple you are? Where do you live? Why have you come to this place? Is your mission in coming here to do good for us? Please let me know who you are.
She is asking. Kastvam nigodashchara sidvijanam.
Kastvam nigodashchara sidvijanam.
Vibarshi sutram katamovadhutaha.
Vibarshi sutram katamovadhutaha.
Kasyasi kutrasya gihapi kasmat.
Kasyasi
kutratya. Kasyasi kutratya ihapi kasmat. Kshemaya nascheda sinota shuklaha. Very beautiful verse, huh? Kasyasi. Whose are you? Whose disciple are you? He's asking. Kasya means you belong to whom? Huh? Oh, you speak such enlightened words? Whose disciple are you? Asking, Kutratiya, from where? Kutaya, huh? Where have you come from? No, you didn't say Kutaya means from where, no? Correct, no? Kutratiya means Kutaha, from where? In Sanskrit, Kutaha means from where? Kasyatvam kaha kuta ayat, we say, no? So, Kutaha, where from are you coming? Iha means Iha api, you come here. Kasmat, you're asking. And why have you come here? In this place, and you are mixing around with all this, lifters of the palanquin as if you are a normal person. You must have come with some purpose, no? Why have you come here? Kshemaya naha ched asi nota shuklaha. You have come here to benefit some poor soul like me, you see? And you are a shukla. Shukla is calling. You are actually the personality of pure mode of goodness. Are you not? That means he is going to Kapila Ashram only. Karana, he is going to Kapila Ashram. So he is asking, are you Kapila only? Huh? He is asking. You are coming to do good for me. Kastvam nigudascharasi dujana. Who are you? Like that he is asking. He is amazed. Bibarshi Sutram Katamo Abadutaha. You are wearing the sacred thread belonging to Brahmanas. Huh? In that picture he was wearing sacred thread. Did you notice it? Difficult to see. He's wearing? Very difficult to see, huh? Because it was very blackish also, it's mentioned. Before, so it may be difficult to notice. Huh? So but Jadabharata, Rahuguna has noticed, he is saying that you are wearing a sacred thread. Are you a learned Brahmana, a saintly person? So, this Rahuguna's behavior is very exemplary, very nice. Because he has completely changed his mindset in a moment. Is it not true? Sometimes what happens, when we pick up some quarrel with some people, slowly in the course of the dialogue we come to understand that I am wrong. The other person is right. For example, say I am yelling at somebody that you misplaced this in this place or that place. But then finally I find that I only misplaced it. He didn't misplace, correct, no? In the course of dialogue we come to understand. But then the later part of the dialogue we have little false ego problem to admit. So then you say, okay, this time you may not have misplaced, but generally you misplace always. Correct now? Correct now? This reminds me of that story of this, one jackal wanted to eat the lamb, So the jackal was upstream in the river side and the lamb was downstream drinking water. The jackal looked at the lamb and said, hey lamb, why are you polluting my water? I am going to pounce upon you and eat you up. He said. The lamb said, sir, I am in downstream and you are in upstream. How can someone in downstream pollute the upstream water? How is it possible? And jackal said, maybe you didn't pollute, maybe your grandfather polluted, so I'll pounce on you now. He said, so somebody has to find some fault in somebody. So what do you call it? Prabhupada says it in English, there is one statement for this. You name a dog and hang it or something. What do you call it?
Kill a dog and hang
it. Give bad name to?
Kill the dog.
Kill the dog?
Bad name.
Kill the dog and give bad name. But the idea is, one is determined to find fault. Rahuguna is not like that. That was the point. Rahuguna actually spoke harsh words, improper words. But the moment he understood that this is a great soul whom I have dealt with improperly, then he jumped off from the palanquin, he fell on the ground, offering obeisances, and he is speaking very sweet words. Actually now he is, the complete speech of Rahuguna, the intention is to pacify the saintly person. He has understood that I have committed a mistake. Immediately he is in a pacifying mood, he is asking, you are a Brahmana, who are you? May I ask whose disciple you are and where do you live, why have you come to this place? See, he's asking, is your mission in coming here to do good for us? That means he's saying that I am a fool, I could not recognize you before. Now I have recognized you. Now I can know that you have come to do good for me by enlightening me, elevating me, purifying me. You have come. Although you came to do good for me, I did bad for you. Because instead of receiving you properly, warmly and taking advantage of you and learning from you, I have mistreated you. Like that, that is his intention. Now there is even a more greater intensity of verse next, which is coming up now. Naham vishanke sura raja vajran. Natraksha shula nayamasya dandat. Nagnyarkya soma nilavitta pastrat. Shanke brisham brahma kulabamanat. The translation?
My dear sir, I am not at all afraid of the thunderbolt of King Indra, nor am I afraid of the serpentine piercing trident of Lord Shiva. I do not care about the punishment of Yamaraj, the superintendent of death, nor am I afraid of fire, scorching sun, moon, wind, nor the weapons of Kuvera. Yet, I am afraid of offending a Brahmana. I am very much afraid of this.
Yeah, this shows how much learned he is also, Rahugana also, very intelligent, very evolved also. One time I heard in my special master's lecture, once he was telling that, in this world, if somebody puts a bomb in a public place, or somebody, is engulfed by fire on all sides and is going to die in a fire accident, or somebody falls off a cliff, he said, these are all small problems, he was telling. This is not a big problem, but committing an offense to a Vaishnava, that is a great problem, like that he was telling in a lecture. I remember. So generally we take the previously told problems, 3-4 problems to be very serious ones because we are very worried about preserving the body. But once you lose one body, you can always get another body. It's like replacement. One shirt has become torn to pieces, you get another shirt. Whereas the aparadha is considered very dangerous because it's called vajralep. There is a dhuli lep, there is vajralep. Dhuli lep means actually some dust comes on your, like I had put my dhoti somewhere to dry, the dhoti fell off, to the ground. So it touched the sand when it was wet. So it had become very apparently dirty, isn't it? But when I put the dhoti back under the sun, when it dried, I did like this, all the dust went off. Because it's a dhuli lep only, correct, no? On the other hand, imagine somebody takes ink, and then splashes on the dhoti, like this. Sometimes you've seen ink here, makes a big round here. Doesn't go very easily, that's like vajralep. With soap, super rin doesn't go, surf also doesn't go. You have to get some petrol or something. Something you have to get to remove that. Similarly, vajralep is a deep thing. Any of you got a burnt or scar in the body? You got a scar, correct? No? It doesn't go at all, practically for whole life it remains. Once when Nizvalan Bhaktivika Swami came to Pune here, he was telling that some scars, he said, it's like a scar in your body, it doesn't go away easily. He was telling, scar. So scar means like fire scar. Like somebody once got some knife or something, somehow cut their hand and stitches were put. And after the stitches were removed also, still the impression was still there. So in the same manner, aparadhas don't go away very easily. The impression remains very powerfully. You heard this story, a little story I heard, that once a son was free at home on a holiday, he didn't know how to spend time, father had gone out. So he took some nails and on the outside wall of the house he started hitting them. Hit nails in a series, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like in a row he had hit. So the father returned from the office and he saw the son who spoiled the wall. He said, my dear son, what have you done? Why are you putting all this? He said, just like that for fun I put, he said. The father told, remove all this. Then the father got that ply kind of thing, to remove it. So he gave the son and the son removed one by one by one. Okay, Papa, now are you happy now? I removed, he said. Father said, it's all right, but still you come here. And he showed him all the holes that the nails had made. And father said, there is a great lesson behind it, he said. He said, when you, first of all, you should not have hit the nail only. By hitting the nail on the wall, on a plain wall, unnecessarily in the outside, you have spoiled the wall. But the son said, but I have removed the nails, he said. But after removing also, the hole remains. Is it not true? So the father said, similarly, if you hurt somebody, and then you may take back the words and say, sorry, sorry, you may say. Now I take back my words, you may say. They may say, okay, they will say, but the impression doesn't go away. The heart, it remains. People sometimes superficially forgive us, but the impression still remains. It doesn't go away very easily. It takes long time. I read about this in the Rupa Goswami's Leela, where he was meditating on a pastime in the spiritual world, and one limping Vaishnava came, and when Rupa Goswami laughed, he got shocked. Then he didn't complain, but he went to Sanatana Goswami and complained, the next door, next cottage. So Sanatan said, impossible that Rupa Goswami will laugh at you. He is a very exalted soul. This is the last thing he might consider doing. He will not do such a thing. Anyway, Sanatan said, don't worry. Then he said, I'll find out what is the matter. Then he closed his eyes and meditated on the spiritual world. He tuned to the same channel and find out what is happening there. And then he saw a pastime, you know. And what was the pastime? It was, actually some people say two different pastimes. They say. Some people say Krishna was bending the branch of a tree and Radharani was plucking flowers, thinking that the branch is low, holding both her hands. And Krishna left the branch and she went up. And both legs were up. She was screaming and calling, "Hey Lalita, hey Vishakhi." She was calling everybody and all her friends came running, helped her guard get down. So, when Rupa Goswami saw this, this is one scene some people say. Some other literature say another scene of once Radharani was decorating herself, putting kajal and everything, and all the gopis were around her. And Krishna also entered that room secretly. When the gopis were giggling, Krishna told them. So Krishna was behind and Radharani went on dressing. Krishna wanted to see how beautifully she is decorating herself, her hair and everything. So when Radharani looked in the mirror, just behind her she saw Krishna's face. And she felt very ashamed and she closed her face. And all the gopis loudly laughed at that time. So along with them, Rupa Goswami also laughed. So now when Sanatan saw, he also laughed. Sanatan. And the limping Vaishnava got confused. And both brothers are similar. First the younger brother laughed, now the elder brother is also laughing at me. Then Sanatan said, "Wait a minute, don't get me wrong. I will tell you exactly what happened." And when Sanatan told him the incident in the spiritual world, then that limping Vaishnava, he started laughing. Then Sanatan said, "See, now you are laughing. Why should Rupa Goswami not laugh? So don't take him, don't take any offense," he said. And then the Vaishnava started crying loudly. He said, "I have offended Rupa Goswami. I thought of him as somebody who he is not. So that has become an offense." So he said, "Now I will go and seek forgiveness from him." So he came to Rupa Goswami, fell at his... In the meantime, what happened? Rupa Goswami's samadhi also got disturbed. Correct, no? Because some offense was taken about him. Then he heard the news and he offered obeisances. But one specific information is mentioned there. Although they did obeisances to each other and said sorry to each other, some vacuum they felt in their heart. Somehow the sorry was over, both of them forgave each other, still they were not peaceful. Then Rupa Goswami said, "Come, let's go to Sanatan Goswami." So they both went to Sanatan Goswami Kutir and Rupa Goswami told, "Actually, although we have forgiven each other, still our heart is feeling some kind of vacuum, some disturbance. It creates, therefore the offenses are so deep in this world that the impressions created by the offenses are very difficult to nullify." One another example I tell you. When Daksha Prajapati offended Shiva, you all know that. At that time he was a Brahmana. So you will find in the 6th canto, Daksha Prajapati reappears. Earlier he comes in the 4th canto, correct, no? Correct? In 6th canto he reappears, you will find. But he reappears as a Kshatriya. Earlier he was a Brahmana. Why? Because he offended Shiva, he was demoted in his Varna. Instead of becoming a Brahmana, he became Kshatriya. And again he was reposted in the same post of Daksha Prajapati. But the impressions created by his offending Shiva were so deep-rooted that now that propensity was not gone. He offended Narada now. Earlier he offended Shiva, now he offended Narada. Not only that, after Daksha offended Shiva, then he got a goat head also. He sought forgiveness from Shiva. But the seeking forgiveness was not very genuine. You will see that. So when Lord Vishnu appeared in the sacrificial arena, you know, later on when all the different devatas are all offering prayers to Lord Vishnu, Daksha also offers a prayer. But in his prayer also he is offending Shiva indirectly. He is telling, "My dear Lord, in this world there are people who are controlling Tamaguna and Rajaguna and they have no control of their own senses. But you being a Vishuddha Sattva Lord, you are always pure hearted and you are great and you never take any offense of anyone," and like that he said. So indirectly he is hinting. So we also sometimes will see when we give lecture, we are likely to indirectly hint to those whom we don't like. So that becomes further offense also. So and sometimes a person who is hearing a lecture may think, maybe he is talking about me only, although the speaker may not be speaking about him at all. Correct, no? Because there was some connection with that person's earlier. They both had some tussle or something. I think in today's Bhagavatam, Prabhuji told about me only. Although Prabhuji would have lastly, that must be the last thought that must have crossed his mind. So why I am saying this offensive mentality is so deep rooted that the impressions don't go away. Now all of you may wonder that why are you frightening us so much, Prabhu? You know, why don't you say something nice about this matter, Prabhu? People ask like that. But the purpose of talking about this is to be cautious. We want to be cautious. Just like the father told the son, even after you remove the nails, the impressions are still there. The impressions take time to... The only in prema stage when a devotee sees Lord face to face, at that time the offenses cease to exist. At that time. So Rupa Goswami told Sanatana Goswami that, you know, we both have come to your lotus feet. Please speak some Krishna Katha and nullify the vacuum we feel in our heart. And Sanatana spoke hours and hours of Krishna Katha that day. And they both felt a flood of Krishna consciousness in their heart. And then that impression got nullified. Similarly, when Lord Chaitanya chastised Vallabhacharya, immediately a negative impression was formed. You can imagine, if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's chastisement is producing a negative impression in our Vallabhacharya, you can imagine if any of our chastisement Bible did not produce. It's very, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a personification of love. Then Vallabhacharya said, you know, I am like a Hamsa Madhya Bakoyata. I am like a duck among strands. Even Lord Chaitanya has rejected me. And all his followers have rejected me. Where is any hope for me? I am good for nothing. His face became so small. Everybody saw it, but nobody knew any clue of what to do with him. But Mahaprabhu understood immediately. He told, and then see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how conscious he is. He is on one hand chastising him very strongly, saying, anyone who does not follow Swami, Sridhar Swami, is exactly like a prostitute, he said. A prostitute has no husband. And in the same manner, you have rejected Sridhar Swami and you are writing your own commentary. Anyone who does it is like a prostitute. And that was like a thunderbolt for whom? Vallabhacharya. And his face became very small. You understand the meaning of face becoming small? What is the meaning? He became very sad. A blossomed face becomes shrunk face. Very, he feels completely rejected. And Mahaprabhu, noticing that this fellow has become very frightened, then he modified his speech. He told him, hey Vallabhacharya, you are yourself a great soul. You are a great devotee of the Lord. How can you write a commentary opposing Sridhar Swami's commentary? I just cannot believe it. It's impossible by you. Go back home and modify your commentary to suit Sridhar Swami's commentary properly and come back tomorrow. And if Vaishnavas are pleased with you, I will come to your home for prasadam, he said. So I was thinking, I had one question. Mahaprabhu says, you are a great devotee, your commentary cannot oppose. And then he's saying, go and modify and come. And what is modify? Already doesn't oppose now. Which means, this is the way the Vaishnava corrections are done like that only. Vaishnava corrections, how are they done? You should say that, so you should not do this and then the person is becoming small. Actually, you won't do it. You are a wonderful devotee, but don't do it, okay? You understand, no? That means, even though whatever happened just now through you, that is insignificant and I am not taking it seriously. Don't worry. Yeah. You are already a wonderful devotee. Basically, you should say overall you are wonderful or bad. But this is like a small, black pock marks in the moon or something like that. Immediately, Vallabhacharya went home and he rectified the whole mistake and brought it back. Mahaprabhu was happy. And Mahaprabhu told him, when I come for prasad, don't think I will come alone. I will bring all Vaishnavas with me. So he wanted to tell him that, not only I have forgiven you and accepted you, and Mahaprabhu's love was so strong, nobody could oppose him. It was impossible to defeat Mahaprabhu's love. He called everybody, Rupa Goswami and everybody, all other. He took Gadadhar Pandit. He took everybody with him. So on that day, after the prasad was over, everybody took prasad. Vallabhacharya took diksha from Gadadhar Pandit. There is a mention in Chaitanya Charitamrita, you will read it. He accepted Gadadhar as his guru. Because Gadadhar was the only one who heard his commentary. Isn't it? That is a connection. Anyway, But by taking prasadam in the home of Vallabhacharya Mahaprabhu, what did he do? That impression, negative impression which was there, that was nullified. Is that it? So, anyway, therefore Rahuguna understands, my Lord, the offense that I have committed is so huge that I cannot easily nullify it. So he is falling on the ground, clasping his feet and praising him. And see what he is saying. He is not afraid of the thunderbolt of Indra, serpentine piercing trident of Lord Shiva, Yamaraja's danda. That means he is saying, I am ready to accept all possible punishments in this world. Physically, let any punishment befall upon me. I am ready to accept torture, pain, you know. And I may even, if I need to die also, I may die several times, but I am, you know, Shankhe Prisham Brahma Kulava Manat. I cannot, I should not offend a Brahmana. Therefore, one should be very careful in dealing with devotees. See, the problem, like when a honeybee goes to suck honey from the flower, especially like a rose or something like that, the flower has honey, but the plant has thorns. Correct, no? So one should suck only the honey and push off. And one should not get hurt by the thorns. Similarly, while dealing, the mercy is there only with devotees. But while dealing with devotees, we may commit offenses also. So the offense comes, somebody may say, Prabhu, I don't want to commit offense, so I will not go near devotees at all. It is like saying, throw away the gas cylinder from the kitchen, henceforth today onwards no cooking in the kitchen. It's like that only. Fire, devotees are compared to fire. So the fire is constructively helpful for cooking and everything, but the same fire can create a disaster. So therefore one should know how to use a regulator. Similarly, we need regulation in dealing with devotees, how we talk, how we deal, correct, no? So therefore, our Rahuguna is very, now he is saying in 18th verse, read the translation.
My dear sir, it appears that the influence of your great spiritual knowledge is hidden. Factually, you are bereft of all material association and fully absorbed in the thought of the Supreme. Consequently, you are unlimitedly advanced in spiritual knowledge. Please tell me, why are you wandering around like a dullard? O great saintly person, you have spoken words approved by yogic process, but it is not possible for us to understand what you have said. Therefore, kindly explain it.
Now he is inquiring also. Submissively inquiring. Okay, purport.
Saintly people like Jada Bharat do not speak ordinary words.
Yeah, this is one symptom of a great soul. Their words are very weighty, very loaded, with a lot of meaning, replete with a deep meaning. Sometimes when one hears a saintly person, different people understand his words differently, according to their own level. But the words may be very deep. Therefore, he wants to ensure that let me not carry any superficial understanding with me from what you have said. Can you give a example for this? Where some saintly person spoke something which was wrongly taken by someone else and later on the right understanding was given. Anybody has an example for that? Yes? That's a beautiful one. Hari Bol for him. Especially I ask this question because today is you tell the pastime. Give the mic to him. There were many thieves in the jail, isn't it? So what blessing Haridas Thakur gave them, you tell.
Let me remain where you are.
All of you remain the same way as you are, he said. Then what all the thieves misunderstood?
They understood that how can we be happy in jail?
Yeah.
How is it giving as a blessing that we be here?
Yes, correct. So and then what answer he gave?
So
Haridas Thakur told them, see, when I entered the jail, when I came here, and all of you had so much reverence, so much appreciation for the holy name, you received the holy name with great joy and great desperation. So I told you all that maintain the same eagerness and the spirit which you have now, forever. And then they were all very joyful. Then again they chanted the holy name happily. Correct, no? So initially they misunderstood his statement. One time a guru and disciple, they were going from one village to another, like traveling preaching they were doing. So when they were traveling, they came to one particular village, and in that village, the disciple was observing, and the people were all extremely quarrelsome, fault-finding critics, and selfish, leg-pulling, backbiting people, dangerous people. Somehow or other, lecture was completed and guru and disciple had to run away from that place. So, then they went to the next, after a few villages, they went to another village. So there, the village was such a wonderful village, people were so good, the nature was flourishing, everywhere there was greenery and water supply was enormous, cows had udders full of milk and the people were very good. It appeared like spiritual world, people are all so well behaved, saintly and very receptive, and everything was good. Now while leaving, the guru spelled your statement in both the places. The guru said, let there be scarcity, akal, and famine in this place. Like that he said, in that wonderful village, which was very good, people are all very good. And then when he went to that other village, he said, let there be sufficient facility for food, clothing, shelter in this village, always, and let everything be in order, like that he said. And the disciple was shocked. The bad village, you are blessing them, and good village, you are cursing them. What is this, Guruji? Your words are too weighty, very difficult to grasp. What do you mean? Please kindly reveal your intentions. Then Guru said, this bad village is filled with so many dangerous fellows. If Roti Kapada Makan facilities are here, they will not leave this village. They will always remain here. And I want them not to go anywhere because they will spoil everywhere if they go. It will be like spreading poison everywhere. And the good village, people are so good. Everybody is so saintly. If they only stay together, they will be keeping great good things only with themselves. But I want to see them going out and spreading it everywhere. Therefore, I spelled out a curse there, like that he said. So that let good spread everywhere, he said. You understood this? So therefore, you know that story, na ma jeeva, ma mara, chiranjeevi, bhava. Prabhupada also tells the story. So sometimes the blessings and curses of the saints are a little difficult to understand. So therefore, he is telling, the Prabhupada is saying, saintly people like Jalabharata do not speak ordinary words. Like that he says. And I read further. Whatever they say is approved by great yogis and those advanced in spiritual life. That is the difference between ordinary people and saintly people. The listener must also be advanced to understand the words of such exalted spiritual advanced people as Jalabharata. See, the listener, okay, I will talk more about that. And then Prabhupada is saying, similarly, great people also speak to the advanced, not to the Shudras, Vaishyas, women and gentlemen. Sriva Vaishyas, Tata Shudra, the Prabhupada is saying that. Sometimes it is very risky to give great philosophical instructions to ordinary people. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for the benefit of the fallen souls of Kali Yuga, has given us a very nice instrument, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mantra. The general mass of people, although Shudras and less, can be purified by chanting and this Hare Krishna Mantra. Then they can understand the exalted philosophical statements of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. Our Krishna's movement has therefore adopted the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mantra for the general masses. When people gradually become purified, then they are instructed in the lessons of Gita Bhagavatam. And materialistic people like Stri, Shudra, Dvija, Bandhu cannot understand the words of spiritual advancement. Yet one can take to the shelter of a Vaishnava, for he knows the art of enlightening even Shudras in the highly elevated subject matter spoken in Gita and Bhagavatam. Which means, the Gita Bhagavatam also should be presented in a very elementary manner. Because if a speaker is too philosophical, you know, people cannot catch what is he trying to say. Correct, no? If it is, and also too much heavy weight stuff you load in the lecture and speak, people won't catch up. What is it? Therefore, Prabhupada's lectures are very, very elementary, very simple, easy to understand. He just takes one or two themes and elaborates. So, Prabhupada himself is very mercifully giving his purports, which have made the deep, translations more easy and lightweight, easy for us to grasp. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did Sankirtan for the masses. Prabhupada says our devotees should also do vigorous Sankirtan. Where people are from, especially village people, you know, when you go to the villages, they may not be very philosophical. You can tell them some pastimes. They can understand very easily. And do kirtans. Generally, whenever I go to such programs, I generally narrate some very sweet pastime of Krishna, which they can catch and they develop respect for Krishna as the Supreme Lord, and do more kirtan there, like that. Combination of two, like that. And when Mahaprabhu met Bhattacharya, Sarvabhauma and Prakashananda Saraswati, there he spoke very deep philosophy with them, you know. So, Prabhupada writes in one place, philosophy for the classes and kirtan for the masses. That is how formula is explaining. So, and then in this way he is going on, glorifying, you are a direct representative of Kapila Deva, the incarnation of the Lord. I am therefore asking you, O spiritual master, what is more secure shelter in this world? I think he is actually asking a question. And then in the 20th verse, again he is praising him. Again the same thing he is saying. Is it not the fact that your good self is direct representative of Kapila Deva? Connection of the Lord to examine people to see who is actually human and who is not. You are presenting yourself as deaf and dumb person. He is identified that this is a Paramahamsa but pretending to be a deaf and dumb person. Are you not moving upon the surface of the earth like this? I am very attached to family life, worldly activities. I am blind to spiritual knowledge. Now I am present before you. I am seeking enlightenment from you. How can I advance in spiritual life? See, these are the symptoms of an intelligent disciple. We should present our disqualifications and we should present the Guru's great qualifications and we should beg for mercy. These three things should be done, isn't it? Like we say, you know, in the Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu song, we say, you know, Patita Pavana Heto Tava Avatar Mosama Patita Prabhu Napayidea. See what he is saying? Patita Pavana Hetu Tava Avatar. You have come here to deliver the fallen living entities. And there's no one fallen like me. He says, Mosama Patita Prabhu, he says. So in this way, tell Lord's glorious position, present our fallen position and seek mercy. And he's doing with him in the same manner. And now he is going to ask questions. See, read the next verse. 21.
You have said, I am not fatigued from labor. Although the soul is different from the body, there is fatigue because of bodily labor. And it appears to be the fatigue of the soul. When you are carrying the palanquin, there is certainly labor for the soul. This is my conjecture. If you have also said that the external behavior exhibited by the master and the servant is not factual, but although in the phenomenal world it is not factual, the products of the phenomenal world can actually affect things. That is visible and experienced. As such, even though material activities are impermanent, they cannot be said to be untrue.
Yeah. See, he is very deeply philosophical. Two questions he is asking. Jadabharata said that I am not fatigued from labor because I am soul. Correct, no? And then he also said that master-servant relationship is conventional. So these two points he is attacking, he is asking. He is saying, how can you say you are not, see Prabhupada says in the purport in the middle, if you see, the soul's fatigue is not factual, but as long as one is immersed in the illusory bodily conception, one is affected by such false dreams. When dreaming, it is not possible to avoid the actual facts and the conditioned soul is forced to suffer due to his dream. So Prabhupada gives an example that when a tiger sometimes is chasing a man in the dream, when he's sleeping in the night, his body is profusely sweating and is hoping and praying that I will escape the tiger. He is running to the best of his speed and tiger is chasing. At last, at one point of time, tiger pounces upon him and catches his neck, you know. Ah, like that he screams and jumps from his bed, and then he finds there is no tiger at all. But his body is profusely sweating. So this is one example Prabhupada gives. If you read that book, Hare Krishna Challenge, in one article Prabhupada gives this example. Another example he gives, a boy, while sleeping in the bed, he is imagining, he is taking a pillow and considering it to be some beautiful woman. He is embracing the pillow and he's smiling, laughing, joking. He's hearing laughters of the woman. Suddenly when he wakes up, he only finds a pillow there. There's nothing there. And there are secretions from his body. So Prabhupada says, how is it that in both the cases there is sweating, fuming and secretions, and all these things, how is it happening? Because the dream is almost like truth for us when we are dreaming like this. So therefore he is telling, you are saying that you are not fatigued, but the soul covered by the subtle and gross bodies are there. And when any person lives in this world, how can a person say that I am not fatigued at all, I am so cut off from the body? So this he could not accept. Who? Ravana couldn't accept it. Therefore he was asking that. And then see, later on, Jadabharata will give answer to this question, which I will tell you now only, because in case I miss out later. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has given a beautiful explanation. Number one, Jadabharata is a liberated soul. A liberated soul means for him, the gross and subtle bodies don't exist. Don't exist means what? The gross body may be seen by you, and the subtle body is burnt away for a pure soul. The subtle body, which means sukha, dukkha, shita, ushna, mana, apamana, all are finished. The subtle body is finished. He doesn't have antakarana at all. He only has a soul which is residing in a gross body. And the gross body functions like any of our bodies function. But the subtle bodily disturbances are not experienced by a pure soul. Prabhupada explains it later in one place. Just like the coconut, when it withdraws inside, it becomes copra. Copra or cobra? Copra? Cobra. Cobra? Cobra, you call it. Okay. Cobra, it withdraws inside. No? You know, kudu kudu sound comes. So, your liberated soul is withdrawn like that. So, he is not affected by the external coverings. And example is given. Chakravarti Thakur gives example. Imagine if any of us were lifting the palki, will you feel fatigued or not? Yeah. So he says, why we feel fatigued? Chakravarti Thakur gives example. He says that when you are lifting a palki of a king or somebody, you naturally feel fatigued because you are not very happy to lift it. You know, you are lifting somebody whom you don't like. On the other hand, if somebody, you find some girl in the station requests you, sir, I have too many luggages, can you carry one of my luggage? You know, I can pull the wheel bag very easily, but the other bag, the shoulder bags are too painful for me, and there is no one, my parents haven't come to pick me up. Can you help me up to the cab, till the distance we reach the cab? And she gives her, both her shoulders, bag, you put it on your shoulder. Although it is a heavy bag with lot of luggage in it, will a person feel pain? You're a little doubtful? No. It's unacceptable. There is no bodily stress at all. That's what Chakravarti Thakur says. Chakravarti Thakur says, our bodily stress and all these things is because of our mental disposition. He says that when a person is carrying the luggage of a beautiful girl, you know, he completely doesn't feel suffering. He feels great joy. What a great bhagya, you know. She sought some help from me. I could help. I told you this one example. You remember before also? Like one day I was getting into the train with my wheel bag with great difficulty, I'm putting it inside, I was dragging it. And then I have to lift it and put it in the top. Generally, I tell Sujit Prabhu to do it. He will put it in the top. If he is busy with something, then I have to do it. But I was thinking, is it good to take someone's help? So there was a boy standing right next to me. But he didn't seem to be interested to help. He saw me lifting, but he didn't help. But one young girl came from the other side and said, "Can you please help me to put it in the top?" She said, "Why not?" Picked up and immediately put it in the top. And I told, "Madam, any other luggage? Please tell me. If you want, I'll put you also in the top." Correct, no? So what do you understand? He's a lusty fellow, huh? Correct, no? So, if a man is carrying a woman on his shoulder, does he feel burden? Huh? That you don't know, you're a brahmachari. Correct. So, and this is argument given by Vishnu Chakravarti Tagore. Chakravarti Tagore is saying that if you have a lovable object carrying on your head or at your shoulder, you will not feel burden. He says, and you can ask, I have witnessed, personally I have seen one mother, a thin lady was carrying a stout child, you know. Many other ladies said, you know, Mataji, keep the child down, he's a stout boy. Like sometimes you have a Farax boy or a Sedlak boy, you know, baby, you have seen that, no? Very plumpy, chubby cheeks and very plumpy child, you know. So she was carrying, everybody thought she is so slim, how can she carry? But she doesn't feel the burden at all, huh? Because she loves the child, she is very happy with the child, huh? So this is the argument he gives. Chakravarti Tagore says that this argument will come later. Our Jadabharata will say, "Are you fool? What are you talking? In this world, it's all a mental disposition." He tells him later on. It's all a mental disposition. He says that if I am carrying a burden of something or someone whom I don't like, it'll be a big burden for me. And if I carry someone or something which I like very much, I don't feel the burden at all. So there are some tricks of the mind which he will explain a little later. It's going to come. In that place he will explain. Our mind is very, very tricky. Yeah? It feels same amount of weight you can take. 50 kg, 50 kg. And you lift and see. There's a lovable 50 kg. There is a hateable 50 kg. You understand, no? Imagine if you have to carry a boy on your shoulder or carrying a girl on your shoulder. There's a big difference. Because the weight changes completely, the feelings change. So he said, the fatigue and all these things we say, these are all based on disposition of the mind. For example, Prabhupada was old, is it not true? When he went to America, he was 69, 70 years old. You know, for an old man to live in the cold, climate of New York, you know, and after two heart attacks, which old man you think will enter America? He would have taken a U-turn and come back to India. Correct, no? Or he would have taken the next flight and come back. It's very risky after... I have seen people after getting heart attack, the people's face cut changes. You know, when somebody has done bypass surgery, they walk very slowly, as if the heart should not shake also. You have seen that? Yeah, if somebody has taken bypass surgery, they have done their walking style, their speaking style, everything changes because they are fearful that any time artery can get blocked and things can happen. Prabhupada got how many? Two heart attacks. And what vigor with which he preached. So therefore, the fatigue is not in the body. Because if the Prabhupada's mind and body are imbued with so much devotion to Krishna, so the body was not posing any limitation for him. There was no fatigue. And in fact, when Prabhupada was in Allahabad, one day Prabhupada had 6 or 7 programs, morning to night. And the disciple was running with him. After 4 programs, he was flat. And then when he got up, he asked other devotees, "Where is Prabhupada?" "Hey, Prabhupada, he has gone for the next program." Immediately had to catch auto and rush behind. But Prabhupada was not tired at all. The night Prabhupada came back at 9 o'clock and they served him hot puri and chapati, hot puri and sabji. And Prabhupada said, "See, this is preacher's life. Work hard all day and take prasad and relax happily." So, and Prabhupada was cheerful even at night also. So, therefore you find, and he slept very little. He slept at 9:30, 10 and got up at 12:31. Can you imagine? What kind of human being is this? You can see that where there is love, even the body and mind, nothing poses any challenge. Chakravarti Tagore says that later. So, therefore, this was unknown to Rahugana. But Jadabharata will explain this later. This was the first question about becoming fatigued from labor. And same thing, for example, when you study for IIT JEE, correct, now how boys work hard. You have seen that? You will see that, you know, day in and day out they work till they get into it. But one is actually a material impetus, one is a spiritual impetus. But where there is a very strong impetus, one can surpass the fatigue. Huh? One can surpass all these things. Like that he says that later. Second question about master and servant is not factual, conventional. Oh, that is a very deep point. Jadabharata will say. Actually, Raghuna is going to elaborate this question more. At that time I will explain. Now he is only talking master servant. You know what he will say later? You know, how can you say a king who is the master of the praja? Is it not his duty to correct the praja, citizens, and bring them to right track? And because he is a representative of God, he is Naradev, and he is supposed to do that and rectify the people, you know, of their wrong mentalities and bring them to sanity. But you are saying that I am not master and you are not servant and this kind of things you are speaking. You are speaking from a very Paramahamsa point of view, but from a practical point of view in this world, king is a master and praja is a servant and king has to rectify the praja. The hard time Jadabharata chastised him. He said, you are speaking as if you know everything. You are a big fool. He told him. Then he told him, he explains to him that actually, if I give you an example, you will understand it even more easily. This example I read in his holiness Dhanavir Maharaj's book. He was originally in L.A. temple. There was one Keshav Prabhu who was the president of the temple that time. So Keshav Prabhu told the devotees to go on for distribution. So they had one policy, if somebody is going to distribute books to any Matajis, they should not talk more than 5 minutes. And push out the books and come back. But then one devotee was selling the book to some college girls and other girls went away, only one girl remained. And he was talking for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Then Keshav Prabhu became concerned. So he told one devotee, hey, go on, call him back. Just sell the book and come back immediately. So when this devotee went, that devotee said, no, okay, Prabhuji, I'll come back. You know, she's asking very intelligent questions, I have to answer and all, you were saying. So, and still he went on, became 25 minutes or so. Then the leader sent again, hey, call him back. At last, with great force, he had to bring, you know, separate him and bring him back. When he brought back, he went to the president and said, Prabhu, you know, why this fellow is so much pushing me to come back? I am preaching to a conditioned soul, who is making such a sincere inquiries. And when I gave answers, she said my answers were the most intelligent answers in the whole universe. She said, I have never met a person like you. You are so intelligent. Therefore, I was also answering. But why, Prabhuji, this fellow pulled me? Then the president told him, Keshav told him, see, you are speaking big words as if you are going to deliver conditions, so you will get delivered. You know, instead of you getting Maya for Krishna, Maya will get you away from Krishna. You will be dragged away. And then he told them, your eagerness to preach to her and answer her questions is not because she is a conditioned soul and you are a liberated soul and liberated soul is delivering the conditioned soul. That's not the reason. Because you have a affinity factor. Man-woman affinity factor. So you are spending too much time with her. He said, just prior to this, you were selling to boys. They were asking questions, you didn't answer. You know, when the boys were asking, we have some questions, you said, please come to the temple, here is my card, take it. You tell them to come to temple. But with her, you are spending too much time. So why this difference? The difference is because the affinity, material affinity factor. Therefore, he said, we have the taboo. We have the prohibition and some distance. And like that, the president explained. Then that fellow understood. So you all understand this example. Now we can, with this example understanding, we can go to Rahuguna example. Now what Jadabharata told him, you are saying that you are a king now and we are all praja and you want to rectify us and you are acting on behalf of the Lord. But then Jadabharata said, you are not a king because you are not acting as an ideal king. Because you claim yourself to be a representative of the Lord, but you are not representative of the Lord. He said, why? Because you are arrogant and you are actually capturing any Tom, Dick and Harry to carry your palki. They are not appointed soldiers or they are not appointed people to whom you are paying monthly payment. Generally, just because you are a king, It doesn't mean you can catch anybody and engage them. Huh? Unless they are your servants. Because these other servants are paid. Paid employees. I am not your paid employee. But you captured me from here and there and engaged me. Huh? So, and therefore, because you are not representing God, I am not obliged to lift you. Correct, no? For example, in the place of King Rahuguna, imagine if Prabhupada was sitting there, in that place. So anybody would happily lift Prabhupada. In Vrindavan, Prabhupada had to be taken in a palki to his quarters when he had become very, very old, in 1977. So devotees kept Prabhupada in the palki and four devotees carried him. So after Prabhupada would go to room and get out of the palki, he would say, I am feeling so bad that I had to take the service from all of you. You know, I am supposed to walk up myself, but I have become a very old man. I am very sorry for, you know, unnecessarily burdening all of you. They said, what, Prabhupada? You are not a burden, Prabhupada. It's our blessing. You are giving us chance to serve you. Huh? And Prabhupada, by rendering the service to you, we are making spiritual progress. Huh? Why only this lifting you in the staircase? We will lift you everywhere you go, tell us. Huh? Instead of putting you in car, we will carry you in palki only everywhere. Devotee said. So, Prabhupada's humility touched the heart of the devotees. And devotees were very fond of serving Prabhupada, correct, no? And they were not paid for serving Prabhupada. They were not obliged to serving Prabhupada. They voluntarily served Prabhupada, very happily served Prabhupada. Like one time my special master was in Yatra. He said, I also want to travel in the bus and see how devotees feel in the bus. Actually, he would go in a car, a separate car. But he got out of the car and sat in the bus in the front seat. And all devotees are all talking. Maharaj has come, Maharaj. Maharaj is sitting in the front and everybody was talking like this. But the cold wind was blowing. So Maharaj, Govind Prabhu was not there next to Maharaj. So Maharaj was looking for some brahmachari. Then he told one brahmachari, it's a bit cold. Is there anything to cover? But all Maharaj's, you know, shawl, everything was left in the car. So the brahmachari was about to stop the bus. Maharaj said, no need to stop. Okay, you take it ahead. But some devotees heard that Maharaj wants a shawl. Then everybody, practically 25 blankets were put in front of Maharaj. Maharaj, take this blanket, take this blanket. Everybody was giving. Correct, no? Very happily. So you will see the disciples are very eager to serve the spiritual master. Very eagerly. And spiritual master, he will not be demanded any money for blankets. How much money you pay, I will pay you. You know, he won't pay. It is offered out of love. Whereas the palanquin carriers, they were all paid employees. Of whom? Of King Rahuguna. They are paid employees. Otherwise, they are not going to be lifting him. And they would be doing some other job somewhere. They are all government servants, you know, meant for Shudras who are supposed to lift. Shudras are given food, clothing, shelter, everything, whatever they need is given. But Jadabharata was pulled and engaged by the king because king assumed that all the citizens are meant to serve whom? That is his arrogance, ahankara. He did not see the praja as Krishna's children, Krishna's property. So, number one was he thought everybody is meant to serve me. I am the king. That was one Naradeva Abhimanam. That's one thing. And the second thing was he was too much identifying himself as the king and too much identifying the palanquin carriers as Shudras and servants. There was an over identification with the body and the post. Actually, ideally speaking, then later on he explains that. He says that, you know, you see, there are four fellows walking on the ground whose bodies are made up of Panchamahabhut. And these four fellows are carrying a palki which is also made up of Panchamahabhut. And inside the palki is sitting one fellow whose body is made up of Panchamahabhut. And inside that body, there is a spiritual spark. And four other spiritual sparks are carrying that spark. And this spark is thinking, these sparks are my servant. You know? Like that he said. And that time Rahuguna got enlightened. My Lord, all the spiritual sparks are all equal in nature. But one spiritual spark is temporarily called the master. Another is called servant. In this world there is disparity. Differences in the positions. Somebody is fair, somebody is black, somebody is poor, somebody is rich. Somebody is illiterate, somebody is educated, you know. So, this is the way our Jadabharata enlightened him and said, then he understood why I am not master. And in case he is a Raja Rishi king, you know, anybody will want to serve him even free of cost. Because we love to serve Raja, I mean, we love to serve those who are devotees of the Lord, great devotees of the Lord. So like that, Jadabharata explained to him very, very clearly that your desire to fine-tune your citizens' behavior is not with the desire to make them proper for their own good. But your desire to tune them to become proper is to show your valor and prowess and your ability to control them. So you are in the mood of a controllership mood. You have the proprietorship mentality, controllership mentality and enjoyership mentality. And you are considering all praja is meant for your service, and that is your arrogance, he said. So, and then he told them, when a person has given up this arrogance and becomes a Paramahamsa, he will be served by one and all. Whole world will serve him. Like Prabhupada is an example. Whole world can serve such a person. So you are actually demanding service from someone who is not your servant at all. And you have imagined him to be a servant just because he happens to be a citizen. You all understand this point? It's clear? Now what is the connection of this pastime to that book distribution pastime? Which I said earlier, I told you, no? Because that, anybody can say? Give it, give the mic to him.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, in that book distribution pastime, this Prabhuji was thinking that this Mataji is subordinate. I mean, she needs some care and help. So, in that sense, he was considering himself that he can actually offer some help. Yeah. So, that's why he was considering himself superior.
What he was in? What mood he was in? Sense gratificatory mood. He was in the mood of a enjoyer and the controller. No? He was actually, why can he confidently say that? He wasn't so enthusiastic while selling books to others. Whereas here he's very enthusiastic. So it's actually on a bodily platform. What platform?
Bodily
platform. It's male-female attraction here. And therefore, he is in the mood of a controller, enjoyer, proprietor. He's thinking that, oh, she loves me so much. And she's so interested and she thinks I'm very intelligent. So he started becoming intoxicated in that praise. And he wanted to continue that connection to hear some more good words about himself. So it's very selfishly oriented. In the same manner, our king's eagerness to rectify Jadabharata was done because he thought that Jadabharata moved this way, that way. So he was chastising him. He was actually very cruel to him, arrogant with him. So he wanted to prove his supremacy. So here comes a very thin line. As a superiors, do we want to prove our supremacy to others or help people align with Supreme Lord? Which one? Sure, you are sure? Whenever you do that? Now I am asking all of us, we have to think this question, correct? No? Whenever we deal with a subordinate, do we want to prove our supreme position? And some people want to show even what damage I can do also, correct? No? What good I can do is another thing. So that is called dominating, proper called lording over, he calls. Lording over matter. So that means king was lording over Jadabharata. Correct, no? Therefore, he cannot be counted as a representative of the Supreme Lord. He cannot be counted. But a representative of the Supreme Lord should not lord over, but he should serve. He should be in a mood of service. So that point was, so this is so important point for all practicing devotees. Because in the practicing stage, we have a tendency to lord over. So that boy who was distributing books to the woman, he was actually lording over the woman, not serving them. Not serving. You understand, no? Like Krishna and Balaram are walking with gopis in Raivata mountains. And this Duvida gorilla, from a distance he saw some nice sweet music is coming. Balaram was singing, Krishna was singing, gopis were singing. And this fellow saw that, oh, so many young beautiful girls are walking with Krishna Balaram. They are meant for my enjoyment. He thought like that. Then from there he started jumping from one tree to another. Another came near. Started making killa, killa, killa. Why did he make the sound killa? Because he wanted to draw their attention. So when all the gopis looked at this Duvida gorilla making killa, killa sound, they all laughed. They giggled and laughed. And actually, why did they laugh? They laughed looking at this foolishness of the monkey. Hey, look at this monkey, how foolish he looks. But he thought that all are laughing because they are impressed by me. They have become very impressed with me. That's what he thought. And he did many obnoxious things. He did subsequently. Balram thought now, when he came and caught hold of their saris to pull them, that time Balram said, now it has become too much. Then Balram gave a punch and then the fight ensued between them and he was killed. So the Dvivida Gorilla represents enjoying mentality, which is actually dominating mentality or lording over mentality. So Prahugana has that mentality. With that mentality, actually he has that mentality, but he is saying that I am a good person, I am a representative of God and I am rectifying, you know, the citizen. So he is justifying his lording over mentality by covering up himself and proving himself to be a very good person. Therefore, he got chastisement from Jadabharata. Is that clear? That point is clear. It's a very beautiful point. This. Mike, give the mic to him.
Why does he ask to leave the danda? He could have said, become a better king or something like that.
Leave the?
Danda. Later, he says, leave the danda.
Ah, correct. No, when he says, leave the danda, the meaning of that is, see, there are two meanings to that. Every king has to retire at a certain time. And he has to go for vanaprastha and he has to eventually go back to Godhead. That's one meaning. Another thing is also, you give up your arrogant mentality. Give up your arrogant mentality and act as ideal Rajarishi. That is another meaning also. That is at the end of the pastime. Now we will take a break. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.